This is the asteroid Tuatatus. It's just a rock like countless others in the solar system, except that it's a dangerous one. It is 2.5 kilometers wide, is loosely composed, essentially a conglomeration of rubble, and due to frequent planetary approaches, it has a very chaotic orbit, and it could someday hit Earth. If it did, it could destroy human civilization. In 1992, 96, 2000, 2004, 2008, 12, and 16, this object made very close passes of Earth and will do so again in the coming decades. There is a chance it could eventually hit us. While it's not likely to ever impact Earth, it's expected to be ejected at some point from the inner solar system before it likely has a chance of impacting, it does illustrate one of the spooky realities of the solar system, that at any time Earth could be hit by an asteroid or comet. This happens routinely on a small scale. Meteorites fall on Earth constantly, and each year several detections of larger air-bursting meteorites are picked up, typically over the oceans. Sometimes, though, they do occur over land, such as the Chelyabinsk meteorite over Russia, which caused significant damage, including broken windows over a large area, and even caused the collapse of a brick building. On a larger crater-forming scale, impacts are less common. But moderate-sized crater-forming events have happened within the scope of human prehistory, including a recently discovered crater in Greenland that was buried under a glacier. We obviously survived it. But very large events that threaten extinction are much rarer. But as the impact that ended the Cretaceous period shows, they do indeed happen, and while rare, nothing currently stops them from happening again. But there are efforts to detect near-Earth asteroids underway, and many objects have been found that have some chance of eventually colliding with Earth. These are termed PHOs, for potentially hazardous objects. They further break down into two groups, potentially hazardous asteroids and potentially hazardous comets. There are currently thousands of potentially hazardous asteroids known, and at least 8 short-period comets that come close enough to Earth to be considered dangerous. While none are currently slated to actually impact Earth, if one did, the damage would be beyond catastrophic. Even small events, such as Chelyabinsk, which was about 20 meters in diameter, produced an airburst detonation 30 times greater than the Hiroshima bomb. An asteroid the size of Tuatatus impacting would be utterly catastrophic for life on Earth. We can get some idea of what this might be like by looking at the End Cretaceous or KT impact. There are a number of surviving indicators that this impact occurred. The first clue was the discovery of a layer in the geologic record from about 66 million years ago that bears high levels of iridium. Iridium is a rare element on Earth's surface due to its sinking down to the core early in the planet's history, but it remains very common in asteroids. Also found were spherules of formerly molten rock that were created in the impact, along with shocked quartz. Then came the discovery of evidence of gigantic tsunamis around the modern Caribbean, and it was found that the beds get thicker in areas of North and Central America. Finally was the discovery of the crater itself, which has been identified to underlie part of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. This impact would have presented a truly apocalyptic vision. While the exact size of the impactor is not known, it was somewhere between 11 and 81 kilometers in diameter, much larger than Tuatatus, and would have released the energy of conceivably hundreds of billions of Hiroshima bombs. The impact instantly vaporized the gypsum ocean floor, digging directly into the underlying granite excavating the crater. From there, a mega tsunami, estimated at over 100 meters tall, would have devastated nearby coastlines. Oddly, however, this tsunami could have been much, much worse. It was limited by what are believed to have been shallow waters in the area. Had the impact occurred in deep ocean, it could have conceivably been several miles tall. At this time, there would also have been a massive amount of steam and excavated material being released as the object penetrated the ground. Some of that material would have been ejected out of the atmosphere, only to fall again and possibly cause widespread wildfires. Subject to the massive shock waves generated by the event, planet Earth would have then unleashed volcanism and earthquakes, and the atmosphere would have been filled with particulate matter that would hang around for years, all of which may have had secondary roles in the mass extinction of life that followed the impact. Indeed, there is fossil evidence of an immediate mass die-off of animal life in the wake of the impact, thousands of miles away from it. The aftermath of the impact, however, would see far more death. For over a decade, dust particles from the impact hung in the atmosphere, causing dramatic surface cooling, a kind of impact winter. This would have directly affected much of life on Earth, but most damaging was the drop in photosynthesis, which in turn seriously affected the food chain. Though increases in levels of carbon dioxide released from the event may actually have helped the recovery of what survived of the plants after the dust settled. Following this would be a period of mass extinction of animal life, where the world would see 3/4 of its plant and animal species go extinct, opening the way for the evolution and dominion of mammals, which would ultimately lead to us and our civilization. In a way, we owe our existence to an asteroid impact, but our own extinction could easily come at the hands of an asteroid, and even small ones could do serious, if not fatal, damage to our civilization if one of the regularly occurring larger meteorite falls were to happen directly over a major city. Perhaps the most famous of these kinds of airbursts was the 1908 Tunguska event, where an object from space entered the Earth's atmosphere and detonated relatively close to the ground. The explosion felled 2,000 square kilometers of forest, but luckily, the event occurred over an unpopulated area in Siberia, and there are no known officially recorded deaths of any humans, though it may have killed 2 people according to unofficial accounts. The reindeer in the area are a different story. Charred corpses of hundreds of them were reported. Tunguska's yield was roughly equivalent to a large nuclear detonation, something similar in yield to the US's largest ever nuclear test, Castle Bravo, though considerably smaller than Russia's biggest test, the Tsar Bomba. If Tunguska had detonated over a city, the devastation would have been similar to that of a nuclear war, essentially obliterating anything under it. While evidence of a meteoric nature for Tunguska has been advanced, it's not totally settled if it was, in fact, an asteroid, but instead a comet. But another incident is certain because it went off like a bomb and shot iron meteorite shrapnel all over a mountainside. In 1947, once again over the huge landmass of Russia, an iron asteroid entered the atmosphere and broke apart. Due to it happening during daylight hours, it was widely witnessed. The impacting fragments and shrapnel from the meteorites did form small craters, but fundamentally the original object effectively blew into more or less tiny pieces. No one is known to have been injured by the fall, but it's not hard to imagine the damage that could be done to a city after an airburst and tens of thousands of kilograms of iron fell out of the sky on it. But this very thing may actually have happened in the past. Perhaps the most disturbing incident involving falling rocks from space happened in the year 1490 in China. The information on this one is scant, but there are accounts, generally considered by historians as reliable, of rocks falling from the skies and killing apparently up to 10,000 people. That's a lot, especially for an airburst meteorite fall that didn't form a known crater, or leave a ton of meteorites around that we'd still be able to find in weathered condition today. And one wonders about things like ridiculously sized hail that can occasionally fall on Earth. But one particular account sounds very much like a meteorite fall. It describes stones that fell that were the size of goose eggs, and smaller ones the size of water chestnuts. It then goes on to say that more than 10,000 people were killed, and that everyone else in the city fled. Until actual meteorites from this event are found, it's difficult to say for sure exactly what happened in 1490 in China, but it does stand as a warning sign that even moderate to small meteorite falls can be seriously dangerous locally. It's unlikely that, for the foreseeable future, we will be able to detect and mitigate these types of occurrences. But with larger impacts, we do have hope. While smaller objects like Tunguska would be more difficult to detect in space, large, potentially very dangerous asteroids like that which impacted at the end of the Cretaceous are more easily detected and tracked. While the odds are low, one prediction is that there is a 1 in 10,000 chance of Earth being impacted within the next century. On longer timescales, it is a certainty that an impact will occur, if we don't mitigate the threat through detection and deflection of the asteroid beforehand. We are only just recently technologically able to start tracking potentially dangerous near-Earth asteroids, but if an immediate threat presented itself to us, we're probably not quite yet to the level where we could do much about it, if we had only a few months or years to try. We would simply have to hope for the best, and those that might have survived the impact would need to trudge on, if possible, through the resultant impact winter and massive global disruption that would occur. Effectively, we'll either survive or we won't, and it's anyone's guess if civilization itself could continue. Science fiction has taken on this trope many times, dystopian worlds where civilization falls and a new dark ages falls upon humanity. This has happened before in human history, where a level of civilization is achieved But then conditions change, as it did with the Western Roman Empire, the Mayan city-states of Central America, Cahokia, North America, etc., where civilization can no longer be maintained at its previous level. The people adapt and survive, but the civilization as it was does not, and only parts of it make it through to the new paradigm. This might be the case with an impact event, where a handful of people survive, presumably on canned food stockpiles, but the paradigm change is so great that many things that once made sense no longer do. There's not much point to manufacturing much of what we currently use as a civilization if electricity can no longer be generated, for example. Indeed, technologies that no longer work can become a liability in such a case, such as being stuck in a building with electronic locks. At that point, the lock is no longer useful. Then, formerly obsolete techniques and technologies must be relearned, such as subsistence farming with manual labor and tools. In such a case, this favors groups that still remember those skills. Same with manual methods of irrigation, building shelters, and so on. Even what was formerly trash to be discarded can become situationally useful, such as plastic bottles for holding and storing clean water, or even keeping seeds over winter from the mice, if they hadn't gone extinct, when enough dust settles for agriculture to become possible again. But eventually, technology might return. Useful things are useful things after all, and humans are, on the whole, resilient and intelligent. But in the short term, the only carryovers to the new civilization might be things like religions, folk tales that can be told from memory about how the world once was, and perhaps some literature and so on, and quite a bit of archaeological evidence of what happened. Or, say we don't survive. Post-apocalyptic Earth would be left to its own devices. It's unlikely that an impact event can eradicate all life on Earth. The KT event didn't. There are some animals still around whose ancestors once walked with the dinosaurs, such as the alligators and crocodiles. Or were dinosaurs in the case of birds. It's uncertain why these animals survived, but a clue may lie in that crocodiles and alligators, at least, haven't changed that much from what they were like at the time of the impact. That may mean that these animals are just simply extremely well adapted to living on this planet, even when things aren't so nice. Even more resilient are the insects. Even during major past mass extinctions, they tended to weather them relatively unscathed. Only during the particularly awful end Permian extinction were they seriously affected. That extinction, which ironically allowed for the rise of the dinosaurs, makes the end Cretaceous extinction look like an amusement park ride. Yet it's linked to massive volcanism rather than any single impact event. That was, however, before we came along with our environmental changes and pesticides. There's currently a mass extinction of insects occurring right now. Look around. This is what a typical day and what a technological mass extinction looks like. But even if the insects were wiped out, there's still one form of life on this planet that would almost certainly survive. The microbes. It's thought that they are impervious to most forms of mass extinction likely to happen to Earth, except that from the sun as it ages. Nothing can survive the baking of the Earth. As a result, even after a major impact event, whatever is left of life on Earth would continue to evolve and would result in a changed but still living world. Perhaps in the far future, another civilization might arise, this time based on something other than a primate, perhaps not even a mammal. But all is not lost. We are fast gaining enhanced ability to detect threatening objects. The more we look at and catalog these objects, the better chance we'll have in detecting a problem years ahead, allowing us to come up with a strategy to avoid disaster. This is possible. There are several hypothetical ways to deflect an asteroid, and the more time you have, the easier it would generally be to deflect the asteroid. In the far future, though, we will have a full command of the asteroids of the solar system, and here the potential threat they present to us yields to asteroids and their movements being extremely useful. The first will be to mine them for materials, which we will no doubt do as they stand as a ready source of valuable materials that we can use when colonizing space. Even today, asteroids are being looked at as a possibility for profitable ventures mining precious metals from them. But in the very far future, asteroids may provide us with a means of saving Earth. Over very, very long periods of time, asteroids can be used to gravitationally tug planets into different orbits, including Earth. As the sun ages, it may be advantageous for us to simply migrate Earth outward, if we're still around. Hopefully we are, but one last thing about asteroid impacts. It's recently been found that the frequency of asteroid impacts on Earth has doubled over the last few hundred million years. Thanks for listening. I am science fiction author and futurist John Michael Godier, currently plugging astrotours.com. This coming June, I will be joining Fraser Cain, Paul Sutter, and quite a few others for the All Stars Star Party at Joshua Tree National Park. See the AstroTours website, link below, for details. And check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channel for regular in-depth exploration into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.